This is CliffCentral.com.
Hey, wild child. How nice to see you. Where do you want to sit? On that one or wherever you like? You could sit at any mic. We're on the radio. Hello, Nina Hasty.
How's it?
How pretty you look.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah. Thank you.
You're wearing like a camo top and you got the big titties inside the top.
Yeah, I wore this specifically for you.
It's a nice top. Yeah, thank you.
I know you like boobs.
I do. What a thoughtful guest. This is the first time a guest has done that in ages, Mubs.
Oh.
Huh? Isn't it true? Hiya, Nina.
I'm okay, thanks, and yourself?
Yeah, lucky to see you. I heard you had some accident on the way here. Not you, but you were caught in traffic.
No, there was like a clusterfuck on the N1. It was a disaster.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm sorry too, because I just wanted to get
No, you're here on time. It's fine.
Is it?
Yeah, don't even worry about it.
Are we on air?
We're on air, baby.
Oh, hi, guys.
What, the lines are blurred?
I thought that was just like a nice...
Like the warm-up. The warm-up.
And then, okay, then we're going to get into it.
So, listen, I was on Nina's show on Monday, which is actually a really fun show. There's a lot of energy there. You've got a great team of people who you're working with.
Yeah, no, they're wonderful.
I had the longest chat to Spungile in makeup.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, about everything, relationships and all kinds of fun stuff. And then I met, obviously, I know Kuli. You've known her a long time.
Yes.
I know Shaka Sisulu.
Yes.
And it's just a nice crew of people.
It is a nice. We actually had a throwback to our first episode yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't really tell the difference between the energy on the first episode to now because it was just magical from the get. Like, it was just magical.
You all actually like each other.
Yeah, we genuinely like each other.
That makes a difference.
It
would have been a little bit awkward if you didn't, right?
Well, it would have been awkward but manageable. I think at the end of the day, what makes all of these people so spectacular is that they are the quintessential professional, like, people in sort of, well, Shaga and I are in a reasonably new space in that we aren't.
You two are on TV.
We're on TV now. Thank you. I just got coffee. I ordered it black and bitter from the struggle. Thanks, Kat.
Black and bitter from the struggle.
You know, just with a bit of bite. it's so nice to be able to say whatever.
The show's called Trending SA.
The show's called Trending SA. It's on SABC3. It shoots live at night. So it's 10 p.m. till 11 p.m. on weeknights. And then it repeats in the day. So we have to keep it quite tidy in that it's also, when we got booked, when the show got booked, it was a daytime show. It was a 12 o'clock till 1 p.m. daytime talk show.
And you guys have done so well, according to what I heard. The ratings are so good that they've moved you into nighttime as well.
Yeah, they moved us into nighttime within, I think, less than 3 months.
Beautiful.
Wasn't it you were meant to be daytime and then you just started talking and they're like, whoa.
Sorry.
Our viewers
this is a nighttime show. This is a nighttime show.
That's great.
Oh, no, Nina's opened her mouth. We've got to move this to 10 at night when all the kids are asleep. No, but listen, it's hard to get ratings on television now.
Yeah.
It's really tough because you're competing with the internet. You're competing with everything else.
Yes.
And to have a show that's on daily means you get a lot more data on the viewers.
Absolutely.
Which also then puts pressure because people in television now, they don't make a move without social media.
Right.
So they look at what's going on social media, and if there's enough there, then they go, oh, we must keep that show.
It was actually quite weird. Initially, we were using the hashtag TrendingSA, and then we just went trending. And I was like, oaks, but why are we not? But then the word trend was in the hashtag. So the weird like algorithm.
Oh, they kick it out.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So then the second we changed it, it trended number one.
Huh.
Mm. So we had like technically been trending, now, but we just couldn't really measure it.
I'm curious about how it works because it's not just a talk show. You don't just sit down and start yakking.
Yeah.
You must be involved in the writing.
To a certain extent, we've got a really great research team.
Okay.
So we've got a content team. Essentially what they do, they take whatever's trending, like actually on the Twitters, and then they use that as a sort of springboard to sort of discuss
other stuff. Want to talk about.
So we don't sit on the content team. We want to be more involved. Then there was a stage where we were very involved, and it becomes quite intense because I mean it's hours and hours of preparation. And then what happens is they present us a script, and then we go, okay, cool, yes, we like that. We don't like that. Actually, here's some information.
So how much time do you actually have to spend there? Because sometimes I
spend
see you
a lot of
time.
I spend more time there than the rest. In that. like I come in for makeup earlier because I've got lots of work to do. You know, I'm actually, they have to get rid of the hunchback and they've got to tape that down. And, like my hair and my face and all of that. So I'm spending like.
Surely Cooley is just as much high maintenance.
She is, but like, she is, you know, with her, you've got to hide her penis. I'm kidding.
Oh God! You know,
I'm so glad the hate speech bill hasn't been passed yet.
I'd imagine also that you're the comedian, you're the funny person. So a lot of the stuff that, if there is stuff that needs to be injected into the script, that
they want to throw it my way. Yeah. Cooley is exceptionally funny, and she has this amazing deadpan way of delivering information. You know what we've all just realized is that Cooley is smarter than everyone in the world. She's like 75 steps ahead of us. So everyone will say something. Cooley will say something left field. We all look at her like, what is she saying? And we carry on. And then half an hour later, we're like, oh, that's what she was saying. Yeah. Oh, okay. She's just, we're like on DOS and she's like on Tiger or whatever, you know, like
Snow Leopard.
Yeah. Her operating system is like futuristic. So, also she's the only one who like hasn't like lost the plot at some point backstage and burst into tears and like gone crazy.
Has there already been drama? How long has the show been on?
We are on our fifth month, I think. I think we're heading for 100 episodes next week.
Very good.
Yeah, it's been intense.
And how do you like TV? I mean, you joke about getting your hunchback strapped down and everything. Yeah. But television can be very scary. It can be invasive. People comment on your looks more than they comment on what you're saying.
Well, thank God this face was carved by angels, you know. So there's that.
I woke up like this.
I've actually put on a little bit of weight because I lost a whole lot of weight and, you know, grew my hair, whatever. And then I put on a little bit of weight as well. So initially my mom was like, Lovey, you must lose weight.
Oh, did she say
so? Oh, no, Lovey, you know, you look enormous on the TV.
Does your mom watch it every night?
Oh, yeah. No, the whole family watches. Yeah. Like, it's like a family, like, get it. Oh, Lovey, you were great on the show today. You must tell Shaga that we love him very much. you know, he's a good boy, that, eh? So that's great.
I saw on the show that I did on Monday, your researchers obviously gathered a whole lot of clips about Madiba when he was being funny.
Yes.
And so there's a lot of production that goes into it that doesn't involve you guys.
No. Our production team is like next level. These people are like, we've got, can I mention other,
Whatever you want.
That we've got researchers that, like John Robbie's researcher, and we've got AKA's ex digital person, and like we've got the best in terms of content. Like we've got an amazing team.
In a way, it's a great time to be doing a show like yours because there isn't a lot of stuff coming out of the SABC. First of all, they have some budget for all these things, but they don't know where to put it.
Yes, they can put it right here on my face. They can bukkake that.
And the talent
budget.
The talent. Mm. It's few and far between.
Yeah.
So if you find people like you guys,
can we talk about that talent?
Go for it.
I'm about to throw some shit.
Go on. Let's go. Everybody get ready.
That's why we want you to.
All right,
So, due to Pubby being on maternity leave, we've had guest presenters. Mm. Now, my mom was also like, Lovey, you must make sure that you don't get an attitude problem and make sure that you stay humble because, you know, you are replaceable, which is a very wise thing for my mom to say. And I receive that. And that is the right thing to, you want to be humble anyway. Like you want to not be an asshole to deal with in life anyway.
A fair amount of humility, but you got to have confidence.
You got to have confidence and you've got to be assertive and all the rest of it. So I mean, it's a tricky balance. Arrogance is just not a good look on me. It doesn't suit me. Just like I can't wear yellow. It makes me look like I've got jaundice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What was that? Were you
also arrogance annoys the people around you.
Yes.
Because when you're arrogant, then people dislike you.
It isolates you. Okay. So what's happened is we've had a few guest presenters because we're doing live television. It's a very specific skill set. There aren't a lot of people in this country that can do it. Of the people that think that they can do it, so we've got access to that pool. So who does live well? Comedians do live well.
Mm-hmm.
News readers do live well.
Sure.
Radio people do live well. And then the previous live television show presenters, we have tried to access them as well. First of all, getting some of those people, we've had two different reactions. One, where people come in and are intimidated by the dynamic that already exists, which is quite an overwhelming dynamic.
Yeah, so they don't fit in.
They don't fit in. They try too hard, or they wilt.
Yeah.
Or they are completely, like, they don't offer any energy. Sounds like...
You were going to make a point about...
I was going to make a point.
About the talent.
About the talent.
Yeah.
There is less talent in that space than you would think that there is.
I'm so glad you said that, because people do not understand how difficult live television is.
Yeah, it's really challenging.
You've got stuff going on in your ear. I don't know if you guys wear earpieces.
I've got access to the control room full time.
Right, so you've got someone yammering in your ear.
Yes.
You've got an auto cue, which is a rough guide.
Yeah.
You've got people talking with you on the panel.
And I'm deaf in my right ear.
You're deaf in your right ear.
Yeah, I've got, well, limited hearing. So I can hear a little bit, but it's overwhelming, especially when people are talking in my left ear and I'm trying to conduct an interview with my right ear and there's like dololo like coming through. Yeah, carry on.
So you've got all of that going on. Plus, they're switching cameras the whole time and you're being asked to turn your attention to different cameras. Mm. And... anything could happen because it's live TV. Mm.
Like Shaga could fall off his chair. Or
yeah, or someone could shit themselves. Yeah, or something horrible.
I wish that would happen.
It would be funny.
That would be hilarious. Yeah, it is. Luckily, I have severe ADD. So that's like wonderful for me.
I'm constantly being stimulated.
I'm like, yay, all the things are happening at the same time. This is how I like to operate. I'm in heaven. I have never been happier in life, I think, than I am right now.
That's so cool, because I really think that you are one of those people who you haven't even scratched the surface of like the kind of potential that you have for TV.
Thank you.
This is a great show to start on because it's safe.
Yeah, it is safe. Well, I mean, it's safe to a certain extent. To a certain extent, other people thought we were being thrown into the deep end, because it happened at the same time as like the 90% surge. So it was like Jason Goliath had a show in the slot that we're actually in, so Larger Than Life. And I feel he was a bit robbed. They didn't give him wardrobe budget. They didn't give him the support and stuff that he needed to succeed in that space. And Jason's charismatic as fuck.
Let's just
be honest. Mm. His show didn't land as well, but I don't think that he had the support from the SABC to really make that show work. Our show was, a weird anomaly. It just didn't make sense, but it made sense.
Do you have a good clothing budget? You mentioned wardrobe. What's the deal there?
Yeah, we get dressed there. I need a shoe sponsor though, because I've now run out of my own shoes.
Yes, but it's because you have big man feet.
Yeah,
big hairy hobbit man.
If my feet were any smaller, I'd fall over. I'm actually surprised I don't fall over. I'm a size 3.
Oh my god,
that's tiny. It's almost like it's almost like hooves.
Yeah, exactly like hooves, like a camel toe. a little moose knuckle.
Tiny little feet.
Yeah, my sister and Cooley Roberts have the same size. My sister and Cooley Roberts are the same height. They're both just like an inch taller than me, like 5'1" or 5'2", and they both got like these size 7 boats. I laugh at them all the time.
It does feel to me when I'm on the show like you are sort of you're the boss of the panel, and I wouldn't say this to Cooley or to Shaka because it would upset them, but it seems to me like you're the one who keeps time. Mm. You're the one who has to do the intros and the outros.
We take turns.
Oh, you do?
We take turns because generally –
I got the feeling it was all you on Monday.
It was all me on Monday. I was Madam Speaker. Okay. So Pabby usually plays that role. So when we were initially, I'm going to use inverted.
Where is Pubby? You said she's...
Pubby's having babies and stuff. She had a baby. She had a little Nunu's. So she plays the anchor. Okay. And then I would be the comedian. These are the roles that were initially set out, but it changed and it was dynamic. Shaga was the thorn.
That's good.
You sound like my gran and my aunt, except they say that in Serbian. They're like, oh, pasigo no, pasigo.
They sound like this.
Oh.
That's it. Oh. All right. Serbian. Now, this is something we never really talked about on the show before, but you're actually kind of proud of being Serbian.
Yeah, I know. We killed hundreds and thousands of people.
No, man, that's not what we're talking about.
Like homicidal maniacs.
There are actually a couple of Serbians in South Africa that are really doing good stuff.
Yes. Who's that guy from Daily Maverick?
Yeah, Branko.
We love Branko.
Have you had Branko? He won't go on TV, so forget about it. He's a nice guy.
He's great. I was actually having a conversation with Sipo Hlongwane about Branko the other day. And we were talking about...
But you have way too many... You have like a normal sounding surname. So it's your mom's side.
My mom's side, Stjepovic. My mom's name is Desanka Odenka Stjepovic.
Oh, yeah, I could say that
Jesus,
all day.
There's never any vowels to go around.
Did you ever read that thing?
There was never have enough vowels.
There's no vowels. Please, can we send some vowels to the Eastern European
but
countries?
But the Serbians always say that the Greeks stole all their vowels.
Yes, they did.
Because Upotopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalopalop Which is like an O.
Yes, exactly.
So it's the first of the vowels.
Oh. I'm being so naughty. It's nice.
Okay, so you were saying something about your mom and Serbians.
Serbians are great.
She's so easily distracted.
Yeah, I know.
This.
It's like like a fly. Sipho Hlongwane, who's now the editor of the Huffington Post blog Vibe, he used to be like a political dude at the Mail and Guardian. We were talking about woke politics and the responsibility versus the irresponsibility of the South African and corrective political identity and
that sounds like a lot of boring conversation.
How woke people like
I'll tell you
speaking.
Something.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of them don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
And if you want to kill your ratings on your show, have that exact conversation. No one will ever come back.
It's so boring. But what we're talking about is that like Bronco is the most incredible, like objective, liberal mind of our generation, but then mention a Croat and he just becomes irrational. It's like, fuck Croats. And that's exactly what Serbs are about. We just we understand being refugees. We understand those kind of politics, but fuck a Croat, you know?
But you know what the real reason for all of that separation was?
Religion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people don't like to talk about that. Mm. It always comes up, and then I say to people, oh, well, you know what the difference is between a Serb and a Croat?
Mm.
Or a Serb and a Bosnian?
Well, so.
And they go, it's ethnic. And I go, no. Mm. Not really. They're pretty much the same kind of people.
Yeah, one follows the Julian calendar and one follows the Gregorian calendar. It's about that
and
fucking
stuff. One is Russian Orthodox and the other one is Catholic.
Correct. Yeah. Oh, you know what I like about you, Gareth? You know stuff. You've read books. It makes me so fucking happy.
Well, I don't know if it helps me sometimes. I really feel like a lot of the time life would be a lot easier if I was just doff.
Yeah.
And I cared about Bieber and Selena Gomez.
And selfies.
I see these people on Instagram and Twitter and they seem to me, by and large, to be happy with their meaningless existence.
No, they're
just playing to their strengths. Your strength is being, you know, somebody who loves learning new things and retaining knowledge and being intellectual. They have other strengths. So everybody just plays up to their own strengths or capabilities.
Well. I don't know. Some people look like turtles and they're still fucking taking selfies.
Yeah, they're still taking selfies.
I don't get it.
I have never been able to take a good selfie.
Really?
Shut up, Ben.
I mean, to me, it might as well be a science.
Never been able.
This is why I don't do Instagram.
Yeah. Mabali's, by the way, you think there is no one more cuck at Instagram in the universe than Mabali.
No.
Terrible.
Why?
She's got two pictures up and one of them I took.
Didn't you take photos at that Sansui thing or whatever? Were you there?
Yes.
Didn't you take photos?
Yeah, there were people taking photos of us. But when it comes to selfies, I suck at that game.
Okay, you must get a stick. Sticks are great.
Let's talk about woke politics because you're pretty vocal on Twitter and Facebook and on Instagram and all over
and
the
stand-up. I need to spend more time focusing on my stand-up in 2017.
All right, so when we talk woke politics, because, you know, a lot of the time you are in the conversation, in the debate about all the stuff that's going on. You have to be. It's part of your show now as well.
I'm
going to
say something that a lot of people are going to hate me for now. I'm just trying to think of a way to frame it.
Just say it, because if they hate you, it's their problem.
Yeah, fuck. Okay, so if you think about the time that we've had as a free country with the equipment to – okay, we've had 22 years of democracy, right? within those 22 years, not a very big portion of the population has had access to education that would create an equal playing field for common discourse, mm-hmm. or like, you know, for you and I to have a conversation where everyone has the same amount of education. Mm. So the
or articulation or, in
yeah,
English.
Yeah, correct. Right. So now there are some people that have like the ability to articulate and also the opportunity to identify themselves within the world without being oppressed. So they are free.
Right.
Okay. So this is where identity politics come in. It's necessary because patriarchy and white hegemony, I know these are big words, but there's no other way to explain it. So the world is run by white men at the end of the fucking day. That's actually what's been happening. If you it, like, the, that's
is
the,
South Africa, in your opinion?
From a legacy perspective, absolutely.
Okay, but like, where are these white people who are in charge of us?
They're not in charge of us. They have controlled the basically. So if you think about it, when you watch movies, and the hero at the end of the day is Prince Charming.
Yeah.
There isn't a Oprah Charming.
Yeah.
You know.
So it's culturally.
There's a cultural.
That's ingrained.
In. Right. It's ingrained, okay. And that's what we mean by there isn't like this like little white man. John Flismas isn't sitting with the strings. Like I'm running the country. Although I wish he was.
Yeah, he would be a good. He would be a good dictator.
He would be the greatest. Yeah. So
by the way, a very politically astute and educated man. Like he has a very interesting take on a lot of things that are seemingly quite complicated. He sees a way of making simple.
Yeah, and I think I need to follow his like footsteps because I still don't know how to simplify it. Essentially, what's happening is our consciousness is adolescent. Okay, because our democracy is still young. Mm-hmm. So you know what it's like to argue with a teenager. Yeah. Teenagers think that they know everything. Mm-hmm. So in identity politics and corrective identity politics, which are necessary, I am a black woman. I deserve to be heard. Yes, absolutely. You do. You don't deserve to bully other people, but that's going to happen anyway. Mm-hmm. So, I got into an argument on Facebook with a group of, expats, black European, there's a bunch of Swedish girls, black Swedish girls.
Wow.
Who are like, I know it's the most bizarre thing.
You have interesting groups.
So they were all like attacking me for thinking, someone called me a black white chick and they're like, oh, yeah. Please, black white chick. And I was like, okay. Identity politics across the globe are a real thing. In South Africa, they are incredibly prevalent because it needs to happen because we're in Africa. It's kind of like an African country and, you know, the dominant political atmosphere should favor an African person.
Sure.
But it doesn't as a legacy of apartheid. So there's a lot of corrective stuff that needs to happen. However.
Okay, but what? I mean, do we need more cartoons with Oprah heroes? I mean, how are we going to fix this? Because we need practical solutions. Otherwise, we're just separating people into groups the whole time. Because that's what identity politics does. It just separates people into groups and they find reasons to hate each other.
I agree.
It's apartheid, in effect.
It is.
Apartheid equals identity politics.
It's divisive.
Yeah.
So there's this corrective divisive behavior.
Right.
But the thing is, it needs to.
And identity politics, by the way, is what won Donald Trump the election in America. Because if the left hadn't embraced identity politics, sensible people would have gone, hell, we'll definitely not vote for this lunatic. But they were like, fuck this. If we're all being called minorities,
right,
then we're going to vote like minorities.
Absolutely.
But don't you think part of the problem is that when we're talking about things need to be corrected, immediately what you're saying is that some people are going to be inconvenienced while others are not. And immediately that makes everybody unhappy.
That's a good point.
So then how are we going to strike the happy medium when there's always going to be a group of people who will feel inconvenienced?
There's not going to be a happy medium.
Well, then.
There's not going to be a happy medium.
Then we're screwed.
Well, we're not screwed. What needs to happen is we need to let people just talk. We need to just listen. But we cannot carry on with a divisive and we can't have divisive and derisive language. We can't be like, well, white people are like that. Black people are like that. If you want to identify yourself, yes, identify yourself. It's going to have to. So with any thesis or antithesis, it needs to sort of run its course. Just like a pendulum is going to swing. It's going to run its course, but it's going to sort of come back to some sort of normalcy where we all work and live in a space that is conducive to all of our growth. But at the moment, it kind of has to run its course, is what I'm trying to get at. Like, we just have to let it be.
We have to grin and bear it, basically. It's part of the process.
Yeah, and does that sound like a childish way of dealing with it?
I mean, I'm pleased that you articulated it that way because it's a complex thing. And nobody's going to get it 100% right. But Mubs is right too. Like, there's going to be a level of discomfort.
Mm.
And people are going to be forced into situations where there's huge proximity and not necessarily a whole lot of comfort and likability.
So I like this. I like changing the language that we're using, because the language that you use dictates your behavior in general. So I don't like the saying, say no to racism. Like that, what does that mean?
What does that
even
mean?
It doesn't mean anything. So let's say yes to culture.
Virtue signaling.
Absolutely.
Which is what so many people do in South Africa.
I can't handle it.
When they find someone else who's worse than them.
Right.
And then they show them up and they're like, oh, well, look, that person's terrible, so I must be great.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, the people in Danfern, they're all like having sex with each other. Anyway, so.
But they are.
Yeah, I know. the thing
doesn't
is.
Some easy live there.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I want to use language like this. Let's say yes to cultural inclusion. Let's be a little bit more curious about each other.
Yeah.
Let's be a little bit more respectful of each other's cultures. Let's know if someone's got a spandla.
But let's not get to the stage where we've got banal multiculturalism, where people are sitting around and they're saying feminism has a big fight ahead of it in Western democracies, but it's not addressing Saudi Arabia because cultural tolerance.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Because religious tolerance. So we have to be extra careful. It's what I call the soft bigotry of low expectations.
Okay.
It's particular to white people where they go, well, you know, shame those blacks. We must give special inclusions for this and for that, and we must make special rules here, and let's treat everybody because I know better as the white person.
Yeah, so it's patronizing.
Of course,
so these patronizing politics. So I want to try and stay away from that. But what I want to do is I would like to have everybody have enough information to know about each other that we can just at least respect one another, because I think like little things, the way that pedestrians are invisible to people.
In other words, don't be so ignorant.
Stop being so self-centered.
Yeah. But you know what, Nina? This is a big universal problem. So you're going to say pedestrians, and I totally agree with you. Like, they're invisible to people.
Mm.
That's why so many of our road deaths are pedestrians. These are people, they're walking to work in shoes that they've been wearing for 8 years. And they're trying to cross the road, and some guy in a big BMW almost kills them. And then
Absolutely.
He's like, oh, get out of the way, you stupid bastard. Yeah. Hooting and carrying on, right?
And he's not a stupid bastard. He's just a person that's trying to get to work because legacies of apartheid have left him poor.
But then the pedestrian mustn't walk in the road either.
Absolutely.
We've all got to wake up.
There has to be a universal thing. And just stop being so selfish.
Yeah.
Just to get back to the whole thing of...
Yeah.
Just to get back to the whole thing of changing our language, because here's where I'm finding we also have a problem. There are trigger words that we will have in conversations that immediately cause us to shut down and to stop listening to each other.
Okay.
So, for example, when you say things like legacy of apartheid, white people generally shut down because they don't care. When you say things like get over apartheid, black people generally shut down.
Right.
Even words like you people. I mean, that shuts things down.
Yeah. So
I've got a joke about that.
That to me is a big problem, because if we are shutting down when we're meant to be engaging and having these conversations, that's a huge problem.
Also,
because of these trigger words now.
There's trigger words.
And there are a lot of them.
There's trigger discussions. And someone said to me the other day, we are politically exhausted. The country is tired. The country is tired of the revolution, in that fees must fall was heavy. This is heavy. Everything is heavy. Everybody's exhausted because...
And we're all looking at each other like, oh God, I don't want to mess this up. You know, we're all being extra careful. We're treading on eggshells.
Yeah, well, we also just don't have a leader to go, okay, country, this is what we're going to do. So I think there's a large... There's a large portion. What do we have a president for?
Yeah, exactly.
What is the point of that job? It's to tell the people, like, hey, guys, don't worry. It's going to be okay. At the moment, the whole country's got absent father syndrome, and we're all acting badly.
And it's bad enough that so many people in our country never had a father in the first place. So they look to have a father figure. They can't find one. Right. And then they get cross.
Absolutely.
It's fair enough. I totally get that. So listen to this.
Yeah.
You've converted someone in the space of, what, 15 minutes.
So, amazing.
Omar, who does the Renegade Report here, says, identity politics is necessary because without it, people like Nina wouldn't have a job. It's a cottage industry. And then,
fair enough.
No, literally 6 minutes later, he goes, actually, I retract that. Nina's being very sensible. So you see, this is the point. If we actually sat back and do what you said, listen to each other
a little bit.
And also have a genuine interest in, like, expanding your idea of how the world works and how other people think and what their culture is and all that stuff. I think that's very sensible, too.
I think there's another thing. So we have
Who knew we would be this serious this morning? Because I thought we'd be talking about how many cocks you'd been with.
Oh, man, it's so boring. I'm still sleeping with the same person.
But I like this, Nina. Carry on. Yeah, let's not get distracted. No,
that's what happens, Shangun. Anyway.
Shangun, huh? Wow.
Damn, girl.
You know?
She goes straight to the top.
You're not messing around.
No, guys.
All right, so hang on. Go back to what you were going to say. So, listening to each other.
So listening to each other, all of that kind of thing. The issue is this. It's a cultural legacy from all of us. It's a very English thing. Just like our parents didn't let us talk about money because it was vulgar. We were also taught that it's a loss of status not to know something. So, when people that whose native tongue isn't English speak English, then there's this, English speakers will be like, will mock the non-English, the accent, yeah. Right? So there's this thing where we feel by not knowing something that we might be mocked and there might be a loss of status. Mm. What I want to move towards is a South African knowing that it's okay not to know. Yeah. But,
that's the starting point for true intelligence.
Absolutely. So the better, the more that we accept, listen, I actually can't speak Sotho, but you know what? Every other day I'll try and learn a word and you're going to help me correct it because actually you're a great person.
And speaking
you know?
Of which,
and we'll laugh which, a little bit, but it's okay.
Your Xhosa is actually really good.
Xhosa, Zulu, Tswana, yeah. Sotho, Pedi. I'm learning them all at the same time.
Jesus.
I'm getting there, but what's happening is so Kuli will speak Xhosa to me. My friend Noel will speak Tswana to me. My hairdresser will speak Tswana to me. My other friends will speak Zulu to me. Like, and I just insist on it. And then when I don't know, I'll just go, I don't know what you're talking about. They'll translate.
You mentioned your hairdresser. Can we talk about that in a second?
Yes.
Because, we're going to start a video cast soon. And you're one of the first guests and you talk about how your hair fell out.
Oh, yeah.
This was a serious thing. This alopecia, right?
Yeah, from stress.
How long ago was that?
God, 20? When was the London Olympics?
2012.
Yeah, so I was completely bald in 2012. That's when my hair fell out.
Because everybody thought that you were just being like radical.
Yay, radical. Know? My hair fell out in the course of a month. It was bananas.
Jesus, that must have been scary.
It
because
was fucking traumatizing.
For a girl, especially. I mean, when guys go bald, they lose their shit.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And they don't know how to handle it. For a girl, this must have been terrifying.
It was terrifying. I have a surprisingly well-shaped head.
Lucky
which
you.
Which is a genuine thing.
Yeah. It's a big move.
So I was like, okay, so I was working at Madame Zangara at the time. I was waitressing. I was partying really hard. I was sort of taking all the drugs, drinking all the alcohol, doing all the things. I think I was going through an unattended nervous breakdown. I think that's what was really going on. That it sort of spiraled for a couple of years. Eventually I just had no energy left and my hair just fell out in the course of a month. My dad got sick. There was a couple of things that sort of contributed to that. And then I kind of went, do I wear wigs? Don't I wear wigs? And then I was just like, I got this big tattoo on the side of my head. And I don't know. I also had like half a bottle of vodka that morning. But
we're going to have to wait till you're old to see that tattoo again.
It's, probs. So it kind of.
Until you've got white hair, thin white hair.
Thin white hair.
So you can see through it.
With like little gentian violet in it as well. No, lovey, you can't have yellow hair. You must put a bit of gentian violet in the shampoo.
And old people will go, is that a bruise?
Yes, it's a birthmark in the shape of Africa. I'm the chosen one. Yeah. So It was super traumatizing. And I thought I'd never find a husband. No one will ever love me like this. It was because scary.
You know, we talked about identity earlier. Mm. And for a lot of people, their identity is also in their hair.
I mean,
you know, look at what an issue black women's hair is.
I am not my
in South Africa.
Hair.
Right? In South Africa and the world. Like, if you have a weave, then this, and then Huma Sakhela won't talk to you. And if you've got braids, if you've got the, and it takes, by the way, Mabale told me this once and I could not believe it. Mm. Like hours and hours and hours in that salon
Absolutely,
to get your hair done.
I got my hairs, I did corners and extensions in April again. Mm. And it actually pulled out. I didn't realize I was already going through alopecia again because I was very stressed this year. I had a lot on my plate.
Yeah.
And my hair started falling out again. So I've got these patches. And a lot of black women have alopecia caused by tracks, by putting
the
all these extensions
and the tight,
in.
The tightening.
So they had pulled out a whole bunch of my, which I hasn't recovered yet, from the top of my head. So I've got this massive patch on the top of my
Thank
head.
Thank God for the Serbian blood, huh?
Oh, God.
Because that hairiness, that'll save you every time. Did you ever have to pull from the underarm? Or?
No. Even, you know, darling, those hairs, we have survived the Cold War.
Mubs was saying to us this morning in the news, they've done some research and they've discovered that people who shave have a greater chance, people who shave their pubic area, have a chance of, a greater chance of
contracting
catching
STIs. Shaving because it causes micro tears in our skin, and so it's easier for the viruses to
But also
creep
the
in
people
there.
With a bush no one wants to sleep with.
Yeah, guys.
So I mean the bush actually does serve a purpose, guys.
All
to
I'm
protect you is
that,
what the study was
okay,
saying.
Okay, fair enough. All I'm saying is like nothing wrong with a bit of penicillin, you know, like calm down. Right. I mean fuck.
Cindy says, I woke up to Nina being serious. I thought I was in the Twilight Zone. Who knew?
Hi, Cindy.
I've always said this, though, that comedians are some of the smartest people in society because they are the ones who have to take what they see and make it work. They have to explain the stories to people who are in the stories.
Mm.
And sometimes it's the first time they get to see themselves.
You know, I wish I was better at explaining, you know how solve for X, you know when like someone says solve for X and then I just go X. I don't know how I got there. John Flismus is excellent at
He's
showing
right
his
there, look.
Holy fuck. What are you doing here, cunt face? I like you.
We were complimenting you earlier. You need to listen to this interview.
Yeah.
Because we didn't know you were coming in and we were talking about you, actually.
Yeah, we were.
Look
Sorry.
At him. He thinks we can hear him.
Oh.
That's sweet.
No.
All right. By the way, John Flismus will be on with the guys from Frankly Speaking later on. That's Andrew
cool.
and Rory Sang.
Yeah. Oh, that's cute. Is it like a little black and white combo?
Well, they're actually friends.
Which one of you is the white friend and which one of you is the black friend?
Andrew thinks he's the black friend, but he isn't.
Cute.
What's that? Sure, there's a lot of foul language going on out there.
So we were talking about
how you got into this.
Yeah, no, I think I was just, we were talking about like people being clever and people being able to frame stuff, solve for X. John's very good at showing the method of how he solved for X. Sometimes I just go straight to X. I don't fucking know how I got there. I know that I understand the thing and I know that I know how to make the end of the thing funny, but sometimes I don't know how I got there. Mm. So I skip steps and I was explaining this to another friend of mine who's like a linguist and he was like, you have this great grasp of stuff, but sometimes there's just blocks missing from your understanding. Like, yeah. I just have like basic, and that's okay. So that's where I'm at. I'm just like,
it's like your hair. It's
exactly. There's just
places.
Patches missing. It's okay as a South African not to know everything.
Yeah.
It's okay to not be able to speak all 11 official languages. It's okay not to know every single minister's name, but it's not okay to not admit that you don't know.
Or to wear that ignorance as a badge of courage.
Yeah, don't.
Like, you know.
Like oh, I don't fucking care.
Or like the president does when he says clever blacks.
Yeah,
I know. That to me is very, very insulting. All right, so listen to this. Here's some important. Let's get to the good stuff.
Yeah, let's get to the good stuff.
Dumelo says, yo, Gareth, thank you for bringing Nina onto the show. I have such a Moorsa crush on her.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, she's funny and quite sensibly intellectual. When is her next stand-up show in Cape Town? I'm coming with my
with his dick. Send a photograph of it. I'd like to see the girth before I get excited.
Is it girth that you're in?
Yeah, girth. I'm short. Where is it going to go? I mean, like, you know. It's
just, all right.
Okay, so to answer your question, what's his name?
Tumelo. When is your next stand-up show in Cape Town?
I am planning a 2017 national tour. I don't know all the dates yet. But just like follow me on Twitter and all the rest of it, and I'll keep you posted. So it's probably going to be stretched from like about May to August around the country.
Ilka says, middle-aged white women are the worst at shutting down dialogue. It's like they all meet at mall coffee shops for a rehearsal and then they just regurgitate the same shit on Facebook comment feeds. I don't see color, but...
Oh, yeah, that's a fuck up. My mom and I had a great conversation, but she says I must stop talking about her in public, you know. I must respect her.
at the very least.
Yes. My mom is the shit, guys. Fuck, I love her. Yeah. Even somebody who doesn't have a like racially charged dialogue in their head. Yeah. My mom didn't grow up in South Africa. She grew up in Swaziland. So she wasn't like as affected by apartheid thinking.
Right.
Even if that is the case, sometimes you might not understand privilege because like that, and that's our conversation. I think I must do like a video blog about privilege or something like that.
I loved when you came in here once and you said, yes, I have privilege and I love it.
I fucking love it. My cousins have yachts, plural. I'm like, I'm,
must be nice. Yeah. I mean, that sounds
nice. Like I'm going in December because all the holiday homes were booked because he put them on Airbnb without fucking telling me. Anyway, so I'm taking the mobile home and I'm going to like a rock and roll festival in the like Northern Drakensberg, which is going to be fucking amazing.
Oh, it's going to be horrible without drugs and drink though.
Yeah. Oh, I spoke to my sponsor about that. I was like, I'm going to this festival. It's going to be in the mountains. It's going to be wonderful. I really want to take some shrooms or something, you know, because I've been sober for three years and all
sure.
the rest of it.
Yeah, well done on that, by the way. And I don't mean that in a normal patronizing, well done, 300 yeah. years. Because everybody asks about it all the time, and you're very matter of fact, you know, here's AA, here's how it works.
Yeah, yeah, just go and do it, and stop being a puss.
Mongezi says, did you go to rehab, blah, blah, blah.
I didn't go to rehab. I just basically realized that my life was unmanageable. I went to some 12-step meetings and I just sort of rearranged my life to make it more manageable. And I needed to, like, you know, you don't have adulting classes, but these 12-step programs are a pretty good start in terms of equipping you for adult life. Anyway, so the question was, I phoned a friend of mine who's also in the fellowship. We call the fellowship anyone that also goes to those 12-step programs. And I said to him, I really want to take some shrooms when I go to this festival. So he's like, okay, so let's just look at this. So you've got like 3 years clean time. You're going to go with your sister. It's going to be like a bonding experience. You're going in a mobile home, which is pretty epic. You're going to be like watching rock and roll bands. You're going to be in the Northern Drakensberg. Why are you being greedy? That's already so many experiences. What happens if it all goes wrong? Then you're stuck in the middle of fucking nowhere, tripping your tits off. And then someone has to come and rescue you. So, you got to weigh things up and also just equip yourself and go, okay, cool. This I can cope with, that I can't cope with. Let's live a good life. There's going to be enough of experience.
And isn't that true for everything? Like, don't be greedy.
Yeah, greedy
is
cuck.
Life is amazing. You know, we're all always so unhappy about, oh, we have to go to work or we have to do this. You've got a job. Oh, we're so unhappy because maybe we're not in the relationship of our dreams. But you've got a relationship. Or you're single and happy, whatever it might be.
Yeah, yeah.
People all want to be – they want to look like gods, but they're not prepared to put in the work. And the other thing that bothers me is everybody's after money. And, you know, sure, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Money's great.
We all want money, right? There's this survey that was published the other day that the optimum amount of money is something like $75,000 a year.
Yes.
Which equates to about 1.2 million rand a
year. Yes.
Okay, now if you are earning that kind of money, you will not get happier if you earn more.
Yes, yes, yeah.
That's the optimum. They said that that's where happiness...
Happiness lies in 1.2 million rands a year.
Yeah.
Okay, what job earns me that?
Less than that, you're going to be unhappy because you've got basic things on the Maslow's hierarchy that you can't afford.
Okay.
And above that, it's
where
really...
Where does Gucci belt fit into great. Maslow's hierarchy
I've
of
I've never
needs.
Bought one. How much are Gucci belts?
I don't know.
I have no idea. I can't afford any of this stuff, so I don't know how much they cost.
Mm. I don't care about Gucci belts. Also, I read another thing about brands, and they were saying there's like these Chinese billionaires, and they were saying like Gucci is a secretary's brand, and like they're like, if you really want to floss, like we want to do things that like, you know, are $50,000 and above, like Gucci isn't even on their map, or not even on their radar. Anyway, weren't we saying like interesting stuff?
We got to wrap it up now. Believe it or not, we've been talking for an hour.
Really?
Oh, you're that interesting.
But hasn't it been great?
It has been wonderful. Thank you.
All right. So all I have to say to you at the end of this is that I love what you're doing on TV right now.
Thank you.
I love the way your career is going. I think that you are only just scratching the surface. Like I said earlier, there's a lot more to come.
Thank you.
And you've got a lot of good ideas. You've got a lot of great kind of energy and stuff going on. Just, you know, keep going where you're going.
Cool. Thank you. I'm happy. I'm excited. I'm trying not to lose the plot, and I'm trying not to be a dick. I'm trying to be kind and aware. It's easy to get caught up. It's easy to get stressed out. Oh, fuck. That's what I wanted to say. Just in terms of the greed and the more and the everything. Guys, this is going to be a little bit esoteric and airy-fairy.
Go on.
You know what? Gratitude turns what you have into enough, and that breeds more cool stuff.
Oh, listen to you.
So let's just, like, if you're grateful, it kind of just settles your whole spirit. And so I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the whole vibe. I'm grateful that, like, I have, like, a face carved by angels and stuff. Oh, fuck off. Is this supposed to, where's the whale sounds?
This is CliffCentral.com.